సాంఖ్యం యోగ పశుపతిమతం వైష్ణవమితి ప్రభిన్నే ప్రస్థానే పరమిదమదపథ్యమితి చ రుచీనాం వైచిత్ర్యాద్రుజుకుటిలనానాపథజుషాం నృణామేకో గమ్యః త్వమసి పయసామర్ణవ ఇవ. ఓ డివైన్ లార్డ్, డిఫరెంట్ ఆర్ ది ప్యాత్స్ లేడ్ డౌన్ ఇన్ ది వేదాస్. సాంఖ్య యోగ అండ్ శైవ వైష్ణవ అండ్ అదర్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్. Of these paths, some people take to one and some to another as the best. Devotees follow these diverse paths, some straight, some crooked, according to their different tendencies. Yet, O Lord, Thou alone art the ultimate goal of all men, as is the ocean the ultimate goal of all rivers. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. ఓం పీస్, పీస్ బి విత్ ఇన్ అస్ ఆల్, పీస్ అండ్ హార్మోనీ బి అమంగ్స్ట్ ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్, అండ్ పీస్ బి ఎవ్రీవేర్ ఇన్ నేచర్. గుడ్ మార్నింగ్, వెల్కమ్. ఆఫ్టర్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ 2 months, వీ ఆర్ కమింగ్ బ్యాక్ టు దిస్ టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీరామస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ టు శబరి on how to cultivate pure devotion. Sri Rama gave a set of 9 steps to be followed, to be practiced, in order to cultivate pure devotion to God. Some of these steps have subdivisions, though in the book Adhyatma Ramayanam, from which it is taken, the list contains 9 items. If we add all the subdivisions in some of these items, it will be 14 instructions. So far we have studied 5 instructions. The first one was to cultivate holy company, satsanga or sadhu sangha. Holy company helps us to enhance our devotion and purify our devotion to God. Second instruction was to engage in spiritual talk rather than in worldly talk. Talk about the glories of God, talk about the teachings of teachers, incarnation saints of all cultures and faiths. They all help us in keeping our mind closely connected to the divine. Third step was devotional singing and chanting. We don't have to emphasize the importance of devotional singing and chanting the names and glories of God in the form of various hymns. We all know the importance of such singing and chanting in uplifting our mind, purifying our mind, and deepening our devotion to God. Fourth teaching was study of the teachings of the Lord. He alone comes in the form of all the teachers. Sri Ramakrishna said on more occasions than one that Sachidananda alone is the teacher, God alone is the teacher. If somebody comes to our lives, a human being, and shows us the path to spiritual progress, then the Lord Himself comes in that form. But the teacher need not always be a human teacher, as we know from the story of the Avadhuta, which we studied quite some time ago. The whole of nature is our teacher. This Avadhuta was a great saint. He had 24 teachers, and all of them were non-human teachers, like the sun, the sky, the stars, the moon, the ocean, the earth, the trees. All of these are round the clock 24/7 teaching us great ideals and lessons. But we don't pay attention to that. We see the trees every day, but we don't think of a tree as a perfect example of the virtue of forbearance. Taroripi sahishnuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when we pray to God, we have to practice forbearance. So many difficulties come in life, but we should bear them calmly, with equanimity, with a prayerful attitude and acceptance, and without complaining and lamenting. Forbearance. Tree is a perfect example. We kill trees, but still, even if the tree is killed, it provides timber. Its body is useful to human beings. If you cut off one branch of the tree, it continues to give shade and fruits and other products with the other branches. Like that, whole nature is teaching us profound lessons of Vedanta, of spiritual life. But we have to keep our eyes and ears open. We see the same things every day, but we don't think anything. That Avadhuta was a very perceptive person. He learned a lesson from all these 24 teachers. And some time ago, we studied those teachings of the non-human teachers. So, serving the teacher, if the teacher is a human being, which is the case almost all the time, we have to serve the teacher with devotion and humility and try to follow the teachings that we receive from the teacher. Those are the five teachings we studied so far. Today we are going to the sixth teaching. The sixth teaching that Sri Rama gave to Shabari really are three different teachings. It has three subdivisions in it. First one is Punyashilatvam. Punyashilatvam means leading a virtuous life, engaging in virtuous, meritorious practices. We will understand that. Second part of this sixth teaching is Yamadi Niyamadicha. Many of you studied the yoga aphorisms of Patanjali with Swami Atmagyanandaji in the Wednesday evening class. There, Patanjali gives 8 steps, Ashtanga Yoga, 8 steps leading, culminating in Samadhi, superconsciousness. The first 2 steps are the foundation for all spiritual life, not only for Raja Yoga. Any kind of spiritual path we follow, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, whatever path we follow, Yama and Yama are the foundation. They are the basis. Without that, we cannot make any progress in any aspect of spiritual life. So Sri Rama includes that, Yama, Niyama. 5 disciplines of Yama and 5 of Niyama, which we shall study later. The third part of the sixth instruction is steadfastness in worshipping God every day. It should not be an occasional occurrence. Every day, as we do, eat, sleep and do other things, prayer is as essential as all other activities. We have to pray to God, worship God in some way, shape or form. Worship can be of many different types, can be done in many different ways. We have to worship God every day. Nishtha matpujane nityam. Nishtha means steadfastness. We should not be slack in our daily worship. These 3 instructions he gives as the 6th step. So you will take them one by one. First one is Punyashilatvam. This lifestyle which is dominated by virtuous activities. As human beings, we are prone to make mistakes. All of us make mistakes, one kind or another, some big, some small. That is our nature generally. You are not perfect yet. But we have to make sure that we engage only in virtuous activities meritorious activities that incur, help us to incur religious merit. The word, there are two words used in most Indian languages, Sanskrit words, punya and papa. Punya means any virtuous deed, dharmic deed, such as any kind of prayer, worship, charity, etc. That deed is called punya karma. The result of that, the merit that we gain by doing such meritorious, virtuous deeds is also called punya. Punya is the result of meritorious deeds. Papa is sin or the result of sinful actions. So Sri Ramachandra says to Shabari, punya shilatvam. Our life should be dominated by meritorious deeds. Though we may end up doing some mistakes knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, we should minimize those and engage in pure meritorious deeds that purify our mind and pave the way for ultimately realization. Punyashilatvam. In general, all actions and thoughts are also deeds. All actions and thoughts, thought patterns conducive to our spiritual evolution are called punya. There are many kinds of things we can do under this heading, punya, meritorious deeds. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has identified three kinds of activities as being punya karma. Three kinds of activities. They are called yajna, dana, tapaha. We will study these three things today. Yajna, dana, tapaha. Yajna means sacrifice. We will understand what is the concept of yajna, which comes in the Gita, third chapter, and other places. Dana means charity or giving in any form. Need not be only money. Dana means giving, sharing. Tapa means austerity. So many kinds of austerity. Some years ago, there was a series of Sunday talks on the heading of austerities. There were 9 or 10 Sunday talks. So many kinds of austerities. We cannot do everything. Everybody cannot do all kinds of austerities. We have to choose certain types of activities that are possible for us, conducive to our lifestyle, consistent with our lifestyle, and we have to do those austerities. Yajna, dana, tapa, sacrifice, charity, and austerity. These are the foundations of spiritual life. That Sri Ramachandra explains to Shabari. He does not give details. He simply says, punyashilatvam. Sri Krishna gives, in the Bhagavad Gita, gives more details about what is yajna, what is the concept of yajna, how it is interwoven in the whole of nature, in our lives. Whether we know it or not, we are engaged in yajna. But we have to do it consciously. Then it becomes more effective. Dana, charity, giving, sharing. Because we receive so much from so many sources which we are not even aware of. But we should not be one-way traffic. We should give also. We should give something in return for all the innumerable gifts we receive from the whole of nature and other beings with whom we share this world. Then tapa means austerity, certain types of austerities. So in coming back to Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, there are two verses, verses 5 and 6. There Sri Krishna emphasizes the importance of these three activities, yajna, dana, tapa, sacrifice, charity, and austerity. There he says, these, if performed well, purify the mind. They should never be given up. For whatever reason, we should not say, I don't have time to do yajna, I don't have time to do tapas, austerity, and charity. For no reason, without giving any excuse, we should try to do these three things in our lives. Weave them into our daily life, lifestyle. Yajna, dana, tapa, karma, natyajyam, karma, Karyameva tat. Sri Krishna says, emphasizes, natyajam, you should never give up these three things, yajna dana tapa, sacrifice, charity, austerity. We have to do them, should not give them up. The wide choice in doing these things, we can choose any kind of yajna, any kind of dana, any kind of tapas, but we have to do. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani manishinam. Why we should do yajna dana tapa? Sacrifice, charity, and austerity, because of two reasons, especially yajna dana. We have to give also. We can't be always taking things. We have to give. That's the human nature. We have to be human beings. We can't be like, even trees also give, animals also give, without consciously knowing, practicing it. They do give, they do yajna charity. They participate in this cosmic yajna. We have to do that one. Bhavanani manishana. If you do them properly, to even a small extent, they purify our mind. Bhavanam means purity. Bhavanani manishanam. However, when we do yajna dana tapa, sacrifice, charity, and austerity, we have to do it with detachment, without expecting fruits of that action, and without claiming doership. Oh, I'm doing so much yajna, I'm doing so much charity, I should be rewarded, my name should come in the newspapers and media. That kind of desire for return should not be there. What the right hand gives, the left hand should not know. When we pray, we should pray in secret. Go into your closet and pray. Don't stand in the public square and show everybody I'm praying, the Lord says. So this has to be done discreetly, without advertisement, without seeking publicity or acclaim. Etanyapita karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha. Without being attached to the actions themselves or to the fruits thereof, these things have to be done. Kartavyani te me partha nischitam matam uttamam. This is my firm conviction, the Lord says. Even these activities have to be done without attachment and desire for their fruits. So these three things. That's first step in sixth instruction, Sri Ramachandra's instructions to Shabari. Now we go into a little bit of more details. What is yajna? What is dana, charity? What is tapas, austerity? This we have to understand in a little bit more detail so that we can get some ideas for practicing. We are practicing, but we have to do it consciously and more efficiently. Therefore, we'll understand what is yajna, first of all. Most important concept. Gita speaks eloquently about the concept of yajna, which you don't find in many other scriptures, in that way in which Sri Krishna has spoken of yajna in the Bhagavad Gita. The concept of yajna is as old as the creation itself. Yajna is an integral part of the whole of creation. We don't see it. We have to see it. Yajna is happening all the time, 24 hours, everywhere, in the whole universe. Yajna is happening. And we should participate in it. We should be in the cycle. The concept of yajna is as old as creation itself. In the beginning of creation, the creator Brahma created mankind, animals, plants and everything, along with the concept of yajna or sacrifice with other things. When he created us, he created yajna also at the same time. We are interwoven. We are not separate from yajna. We are participants in yajna, knowingly or unknowingly. He says in the Gita, by the practice of yajna, you shall prosper. Something is in the Bible. You shall prosper by the practice of yajna. May this yajna yield the happiness you seek in human life. No happiness without yajna. So he says in the third chapter, slok, verse number 10, chapter 3. Sahayajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasivishyadvam yeshavostu ishtakamaduk. The Lord says to his creation, addressing the whole of creation, especially human beings, because we can practice yajna. Though animals also do yajna without, they are not aware of it. They instinctively do it. They do yajna. much more unfailingly than we do. Sometimes we fail, but animals never fail. Trees never fail. The trees are doing yajna. 24 hours trees are doing yajna. But we have to do at least some time in our lives. He says, Saha yajnyaha prajaha srishtva. Creating praja means all the beings. Along with yajna he created. Yajna is an integral part of the whole of creation. Pura, at the beginning of creation, Prajapati Uvacha, the Lord said, especially addressing human beings, Anena prasavishya dvam, you shall prosper if you practice yajna. Anena means yajnana. By practicing this yajna, you shall all achieve prosperity. Prosperity means spiritual prosperity, material prosperity, both. Yesha vos vishta kamat. Yesha means yajna. May this yajna grant you your wishes, fulfill your desires for happiness. That is the instruction from the Lord at the time of creation. What are the ways in which you can do yajna? The Lord told us to do yajna. So next question is, how can I do yajna? What is yajna? Very common activities are also yajna. We have to recognize them as yajna. Activities, spiritual activities, which most of us do in our own way, such as worship, some form of worship, in whichever temple you go, whatever form of worship you do, some form of worship is yajna. Second, pilgrimage. People undertake pilgrimages to holy places. That is yajna. Third, devotional singing and chanting of hymns. Any devotional song in any language, chanting of hymns. You can find hymns in the Vedas, Vedic hymns, Purusha Sukta, Narayana Sukta, Rudra, Krishna, etc. You can find hymns in the Puranas. You can find hymns created, composed by various saints, like Tulsidas ji's composition of Hanuman Chalisa. Those are all examples of devotional hymns. Chanting devotional hymns is one form of yajna. Scripture study is one form of yajna, jnana yajna. Japa is one form of yajna. All of these things are called acts of sacrifice. In general, any action, any activity, barring, with the exception of prohibited actions, immoral, illegal actions. We should not tell lies and cheat and say, I'm doing yajna. That won't work. It is understood. Any action in general done without attachment to the action itself or to the fruits thereof can be called yajna. For some activity to be called yajna, it has to be done without selfishness, without hankering for the fruits of actions, especially personal benefit, such as fame, reward, etc. Then any action can be converted into yajna. Speaking about the glories of God, about the teachings of God, is one form of yajna. It is listening to the Lord's teachings, listening to the teachings of the Lord, His glories in numerous incarnations in the form of teachers and saints. That is one kind of yajna. All this is Svadhyaya Parvachana Yajna. Like the many different kinds of yajna are there. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, any activity done without attachment to the action itself or to the fruits thereof can be called yajna. Therefore, the concluding instruction in the Gita, 3rd chapter, verse 9, is perform all actions as yajna, not in a selfish way. Do whatever action we do, even eating, for example, can be done as yajna. We will understand how eating can be yajna. Should be done as a sacrifice. Then it purifies our mind, takes away the selfishness, takes away the narrow-mindedness, takes us closer to God. If you do any action, same action, if you do with attachment, with desire for fruits and reward and fame in return, then it becomes binding. So in that verse number 9 in chapter 3, Sri Krishna says, Any action done other than in the spirit of yajna will be binding and our worldly cycle will continue. Any action done without attachment and as yajna, in the spirit of yajna, is releasing, takes us closer to God. Yajnyarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. So whole world is bound in selfishness, narrow-mindedness, self-centeredness, because we tend to do actions in a selfish way, expecting something in return. We want recognition. We want fame. We want reward. We want return. That's not yajna. Yajna means giving. Not for me, but for you. Not I, but thou. Not mine, but thine. That is the spirit of yajna. Tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangas samachara. That is the important instruction. Chapter 3, verse 9. Therefore, O Arjuna, mukta sangah karma samachara. Perform all actions, secular actions and what we call spiritual actions. All of them have to be done in an unselfish way. Then it becomes yajna. Then it releases. Otherwise, it binds us. In this context, we have to remember Swami Vivekananda's one of the most important teachings, dictums, like a Mahavakya. Only three words it has in the Karma Yoga book. It has come before many times. He wrote, unselfishness is God. To the extent we become unselfish in our actions, in our thoughts, to that extent we approach divinity. The limiting case, when I'm totally free from selfishness, not I is not there at all, only he remains, then he remains. Where is the I? It has merged in him. That is liberation. Total unselfishness is liberation. That is God. Swamiji said, how do we become unselfish? By doing all our actions as yajna. See how the connection is made. Why we should practice yajna in some way is it makes us unselfish. To the extent we become unselfish, less self-centered, to that extent we approach God. And if we become totally unselfish, we are one with the Lord. That's the ultimate goal of life. Two or three specific kinds of yajna are mentioned in the scriptures. Two of them are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, in the verse 10:25, the Lord says, yajnanam japa yajnosmi. So many kinds of yajna are there. Different kinds of yajna, very varieties of yajnas are there. But one thing that can be done is japa yajna, repeating the name of God. Repeating the name of God is in the Christian tradition too, in Islamic tradition too. Of course, it's the main thing in the Hindu and Buddhist traditions. Repeating God's name, that is yajna. It has to be done with as much devotion as possible. At the end of japa, we have to offer all our actions to the, at the feet of the Lord as our humble offering. It purifies the mind. One of the most effective spiritual practices is japa, constantly repeating the name of God. Holy Mother, Sarada Devi, Sri Ramakrishna, all his disciples and their disciples have constantly emphasized the importance of japa, repeating the name of God. You can use the rosary or whatever way you follow, whichever mantra you follow, whichever name you follow. Any name of God is purifying. Repeating name of God is purifying the mind. Pavanani maneshena. Japa yajna. There's one thing. There is different ways of do japa. Our teachers, when they give the instruction, mantra, they also give instructions. There's one special way to do yajna. Japa yajna, repeating, which is mentioned in the scriptures. It's called purascharana. Many of us may not be able to do it, but it's good to know. There is a practice called purascharana. Swami Nikhilananda mentions it briefly in one of his writings. Purascharana means gradually increasing the amount of our japa in a graduated scale. up to a maximum, then gradually bringing it down to a starting point. For example, I want to do Purascharana for 1 month. We start on the 1st of January, New Year's resolution, I will do Purascharana. So on the 1st of January, I start with the minimum. One round of the rosary I will do, whatever mantra I have to do. On the 2nd of January, I will add one more round. I'll make 2 rounds, 118/2. On the 3rd of January, I'll make it 3 rounds. On the 4th of January, I'll make 4 rounds. Like this, I go on increasing one round of the rosary every day as the month progresses, up to 15 days, first half of the month. Then I'll be reaching the maximum of 15 rounds of the mala, which takes a long time, depending on the mantra and the speed. You can make it more also. You can start with 2 and add 2 every day. That's left to you. And from the 16th day until 31st day, you decrease it by the same amount. You reach the maximum on the 15th day, 15 malas, 15 rounds of the rosary. Then 16th day, 14 malas, 13 rounds, 12 rounds, and come back at the end of the month, come back to the point where you started. That type of practice can be. You can design from what amount you start and how many increment, and what size of increment you want to do every day, that's left to you. This is a very powerful discipline. One person who does this, I know, she does it for a week at a time. During that time, householder, husband, children, grandmother, mother, everybody is there. Job, now she's retired, there's a volunteer, physician. For that 1 week or 10 days that she, or 1 month that she chooses to do, all other activities are minimized. No phone calls, no email, just this only. Then finishes 1 month, then resumes normal life. Very powerful discipline. That is Japa Yajna, one kind of yajna. Second kind of yajna, which we have discussed sometime. Kant yajna means what? Performing selfless action. Returning what we have already received. We have received so many things from so many sources that we are not even aware of it. We don't think about it. Our life cannot make one step, we cannot make one step progress in our life except with the contribution, cooperation of countless number of beings, some human, some non-human being. I cannot take one morsel of food to my mouth unless many hundreds of people have worked to make it possible. We take everything for granted. I go from here to Chicago for a weekend program to make the journey from the Vedanta Center to the destination there in Chicago. To make it possible, I have already utilized the help of countless number of people. We don't pay attention to it. The other day, last Tuesday, we had a snowstorm here. At midnight, I was going around. I usually check the doors and things like the switches and everything. I saw some people working in the parking lot here. A lot of 5-6 inches of snow had accumulated that day. Then I opened it. Then it was our contractor, 2 people. One person using the plow, the snow plow, that vehicle that moves, pushing the snow. Another person with a shovel, clearing the snow. It was so cold, everybody else is sleeping comfortably in heated rooms inside the building. These people are working in the middle of the night to clear the snow for us. Next morning when we wake up, we can walk in the driveway and bring our cars to the parking lot. We have received them. What do we do in return? You pay them money, but it's much more than money. They can earn their money in other ways. Some time ago, there was a television show called Dirty Jobs or something like that. I saw some episodes. If you see what kind of things people do, we are not aware of it. They all contribute to our comfort.
the janitors, the people who work with the garbage, the electrician, the plumbers, the construction workers, the road construction workers, the snow clearing people, the aircraft maintenance crew, the people who maintain the roads on which we drive, the people who make the cars which we drive, the people who grow the food that we eat, people who manufacture the cloth that we wear. We don't think at all. How many people have put their labor, their knowledge, their skill, their effort into making this possible? I say, oh, I bought all these things with my own money, but I pray, who helped you to make the money? For me to get a job and get a salary or start a business and make money, how many people from a primary school teacher onwards have helped me to come to that position? I have to be grateful to all of them. What am I doing in return? Trees are giving me the oxygen I breathe. What am I doing in return? To kill the trees. Without animal life and plant life coexisting, human life cannot exist on this planet. They're all interwoven, far more deeply interconnected and interdependent than we care to realize. We receive, 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 but giving, how much do we give? So that is yajna. So five kinds of this pancha yajna are described in the scriptures. We'll go through them quickly. First is deva yajna. Deva yajna means our indebtedness to Devarana. Rana means indebtedness, the loan we have taken from God. The indebtedness for we should exhibit in our life. We have received the most precious gift that anybody can receive from the Lord already. What is the gift He has given us? Many gifts, but what is the one most important gift He has given us for which you should be eternally grateful? The human birth. Shankaracharya is extolled that the human birth is the most important gift. Without it, what would we be? You'd be a tree someplace or a dog or a fox someplace. We are human beings with all the facilities, knowledge, ability to think and do. This precious gift He has given, what do we do in return? We don't even remember Him once a day and say, oh, thank you, O Lord, for making me a human being living in this wonderful condition, in this ashrama here, in your homes there. Indebtedness to the Lord. We can never repay the Lord for all the gifts He has given as conferring on us 24 hours a day. Deva yajna. Devarana. How to pay it back? How to do deva yajna? By doing some kind of worship every day. You choose any kind of worship. You choose how much time you want to spend on your worship. But we have to remember God every day. Thank Him every day. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Every moment, thank you, O Lord. For every breath I take, I thank the Lord. For every word I am able to speak, I should thank the Lord. For every morsel of food I put into my mouth, I should thank the Lord. He makes it possible. All these gifts, innumerable, infinite number of gifts He has given, He continues to give all our lives. And what do? We forget Him. That is one thing we have to do every day, worship. That's part of yajna, five yajnas. Second is rishirana. All the knowledge we have, secular or spiritual knowledge, whether we're studying physics or chemistry, biology, sociology, history, archaeology, whatever, or religion, scriptures, Upanishads, Sanskrit, English, literature, Bible, whatever, who gave this knowledge to us on a platter. All the great science incarnations and teachers, they have given us this accumulated precious wealth of knowledge, spiritual and secular knowledge. Paravidya, paravidya, He has given us. And if we study that, we benefit from it. We have to be grateful to the teachers who teach us our alphabet in the prime preschool, elementary school, kindergarten, teaches our algebra and history in high school and college and university, etc. How can we be grateful to the teachers? By trying to incorporate in our lives the teachings they give us. That's the best reward teaching that you can give a teacher is, you can give an apple or send a birthday card, a teacher's day card. But the best gift we can give to your teacher is to follow the teacher's instructions and enrich our lives. He will be happy. She will be happy. My son, my child, whom I taught A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, is now sitting in the White House as the president. the primary school teacher, elementary school teacher of the president feels so proud because his teaching, his foundation he laid for education, see where he has learned, his student has learned it. That achievement itself is a reward to the teacher. The teacher understands this one. What's the best gift you can give? If your students benefit from your teaching, build their lives, you have given the foundation, you have touched their lives forever, and that is the great gift you can give. So, the particular way in which we have to practice Rishirana, give our indebtedness to the teachers, is to study the scriptures. In the Upanishad, it says, Acharya Devo Bhava, may your teacher be your God. Like that. Third, Pitrarana, indebtedness to pay. I can't even begin to explain how much we should be indebted to our parents. They gave us this life. They brought us to this world. What could we do when you were an infant? 24 hours they sacrificed their comfort to ensure our comfort. Gave us education, gave us good health, taught us moral values and virtues, brought us to where we are today. What are we showing our parents in their old age? We neglect them, put them in old age home, maybe once a year, Mother's Day card, Father's Day card. Hey, Mom, how are you? One phone calls from here to India. They are in the old age home, they are languishing. We have to worship our parents. They are our God. Matra Deva Bhava, Pitra Deva Bhava, Upanishad says, may your mother be God unto you. May you be one to whom your father is the God. They are the God incarnate. Parents, God incarnate in our lives. They brought us to this world, gave us this life, made us what we are. Indebtedness in some way, shape or form. Showing us affection, showing them affection, love, treating them kindly, nicely, staying in touch with them, doing everything we can, taking care of them. Third one. Fourth is Nararana. We already talked about it. All the people in this world, whether we know them or not, they may be living in some other country, they are contributing to our well-being. The farmer who grows the food in South America, or a person who sweats in a factory in China, the sweater that I am wearing. The people who do the road construction, day and night, in snow, in 100 degree temperature, they are putting the tar, paving the road with that hot tar, they are working to make it possible for us to travel on that road, drive our car. All these people, they are working, contributing to our comfort. How can we can't thank every one of them personally because they are spread out all over the world in globalization day to day. But whoever we come into contact with, to that person we have to show gratitude, grateful to whatever we can, a little bit. Some kind of volunteerism, social service, some helping, going to senior center, driving a sick person to the doctor's office, bringing grocery, to a sick person who cannot go, working as a volunteer in schools, senior centers, hospitals, anywhere, serving the fellow beings. That is the fourth one, Nararana. For last one is Bhutarana, our indebtedness to the animals and plants and nature. Without animals can we live? Without plants can we live? Plants provide the oxygen we breathe for the very sustenance of our life. We can't live a moment without plants giving us oxygen. What do we do in return? We have to take care of plants. We have to take care of animals. In some way, shape or form. And all of nature, earth is giving us, supporting us from the moment of birth and the moment of death and later. We ill-treat here, putting litter everywhere, pollutants everywhere. Air is essential for our life. We create air pollution, noise pollution. We have to be gentle to nature. We have to be gentle to nature, to animals, to plants, to people, to parents, to teachers, to everything. These are the five things. Now, these yajnas can be done in a sattvic mode without expecting anything in return according to the proper procedure. Or it can be done in a rajasic mode, expecting some return from fame in return for our yajna. to show for ostentation or in a tamasic mode without following the scriptures, without following the procedures, and without faith. We have to do everything we do in a sattvic mode. These three modes of performing any action, particularly yajna action, are described in three verses in the Gita. 17th chapter, verses 11, 12, 13. Sattvika yajna, rajasika yajna, tamasika yajna. Last part of yajna is study and teaching of scripture, swadhyaya pravachana. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, many times this instruction, this injunction has given. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. We should never refrain from our daily practice of studying any scriptures of your choice. All scriptures are God's words. Any scripture, daily we should spend a few minutes to study scripture, imbibe the teachings, put into practice, and if possible, communicate it to those who are ready to receive, children especially, students. These are the three kinds of yajna. That is the first part, yajna, dana, tapas. Next time we shall study how to do charity, what is charity, why we should do charity. Tapas, third part is austerity. What are austerities, how to do? We'll study them. Next 2 weeks we have opportunity to continue the topic.